And this week has been a time of going through lots of different things. You know, we look at the world and we get stressed and we get worried and we get anxious. We look at the world and we wonder, what about tomorrow? And just at the time when you think, I don't know if I need to, if I can worry about anything anymore, then something disastrous happens. And of course, we remember all those victims of the Las Vegas shooting. This past week when I was going into Columbia, right there about before you get to St. Andrews Road on 26, I'm sure you've noticed this giant American flag that's there on the left as you're going into Columbia. I think it may be at a car dealership there, but it is, I'm not sure there's a bigger one anywhere around. There have been some big ones in Greenville, but this one just seems immense. And of course, most days when I drive by there, it is flowing in the breeze. Maybe not full, but the breeze is blowing. I guess it's at a place where there's just constantly some sort of breeze blowing. And so it's always rather spectacular. It looks mighty and majesty and all this stuff, majestic and everything else. And so as I was passing by early on Wednesday morning, there it was at half mast. They had very carefully done it so that it was not hitting the ground. And the breeze was still blowing, but I guess because it was at half mast, it was just barely rippling in the breeze. It wasn't unfurled, but it was just unfurled enough. And as I drove by, I said, it looks like it's bowed, like it's saddened. And I thought, that's where we are in so many different ways. We're sad over the plight of the world. We're sad over people who do terrible things, and we're saddened that it seems like it's just the definition of our time in which we live. So I thought that today, on this Sunday, that I would offer a psalm to you, Psalm 19, as a psalm of comfort, as a psalm of God's goodness, of the steadfastness of God in the face of everything. If it's a national disaster, a great tragedy, or just the general anxiety of the days and the wondering about what is tomorrow, these words are indeed eternal, and they speak to us right where we are, even with our own fears and worries, our private anxieties. And so I hope that you can relax and be comforted by the Word of God, and be comforted by how God speaks to us this day and every day, in the midst of rejoicing, in the midst of sorrows, in the midst of fears, in the midst of anything, God speaks to us. Psalm 19, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by then is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant from the insolent, and do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love how this psalmist opens these words that tell us so much about God and our relationship with God. The heavens are telling. The heavens are telling. The heavens are proclaiming the glory of God each and every day. The heavens are telling that God is a great God, that God is a good God, that God is a God who watches over us, that God is there for us. The heavens are proclaiming the goodness of the Lord. And it's interesting that the psalmist says, even though the heavens are telling, he says in verse 3, there is no speech, nor there are words. And then he says, their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out to all the world, earth, and to the word, to the ends of the world. So even though the heavens are telling the glory of God, we look at our world and we understand that word is not always heard. And yet, the word continues. That word continues. That word is there for us. And we live by that word because the heavens continue to tell us God is there. God is great. God is good. God blesses us. God is there with us on the journey, no matter where we find ourselves in the midst of that journey. And then the psalmist defines characteristics of God, gives us an understanding of God, gives us that complete understanding, or as complete as words can be. These words that the heavens are telling us about God. He says, the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. I find amazing comfort in that, because I know that I am extremely imperfect, and also know that I live in an extremely imperfect world, and that the best thing we can do is just to muddle through and do our best and give it our best effort and try to work around all the imperfections. I don't believe that perfection is something to be, achieved. I don't believe that it's something we should put on ourselves as a burden. I have to do this perfectly. That is, to me, not realistic. And it becomes an unnecessary burden that we carry. But I also believe that there is great comfort in the fact that God is perfect. And as we live out our imperfect lives, as we live our lives in an imperfect world, a world that seems to be dominated by evil, even though goodness is always there, in the midst of that, knowing that God is perfect revives us. That we can say, I'm not perfect, Lord, but you are. This world is not perfect, but you are. Our future is far from certain and certainly not perfect, but our future with you is perfect. The new heaven, the new earth, the new kingdom that God is giving to us. He continues on and says, the Lord is sure, making us wise. Not only is God perfect, but God is sure. God is certain. The constancy of God. God is always with us. God is always there. God is always looking at us. God is always caring. Caring in a way that someone who loves us as closely as they can't always do because we're human. But God is sure, and he makes us wise in that, knowing that no matter what, God is there, knowing that no matter what we face, we can turn to God, close our eyes, bow our heads, and be with God, the source of all things. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God who is all-knowing and all-present, whose wisdom is beyond anything we can even begin to grasp. And yet God's wisdom is there for us, giving us that, because God is sure. God is certain. He goes on and says, God is right. And that rejoices our hearts. Because, if you're like me, you get upset when you see something and you just want to say, that's not right. That shouldn't be. That's just not right. And the world is filled with things that we could label as not right. But the psalmist says, God is right. God is right, and that rejoices our hearts as well. That gives us cause to rejoice because we know that God is right. No matter what happens, no matter what injustice we may face, no matter what wrong that may be placed upon us, no matter if we fail and we do things that are wrong, God is right. God loves us. That gives us cause not to blame ourselves, not to feel bitterness toward ourselves and bitterness toward others, but to understand that that causes us to rejoice because God is right. He's the ultimate judge. He is the creator of all things, and through him all things are brought into being, and all things will cease or live and be with God throughout all of eternity. God is right, and we rejoice in our souls. God is clear. I love that. Enlightening our eyes. God is clear. You say, wow, I don't know. God seems pretty mysterious. I rejoice in God's mysteriousness. I rejoice in the fact that we can't characterize God, that if we try to put God in a jar and say, I've got God, then we're just fooling ourselves. But I do know that God's love is clear. God's offer of redemption, redeeming our actions. God redeems us. God's promise of life everlasting is clear. All of these things are clear before us. And in the clearness that God gives to us of God's presence, of the characteristic that God is clearly there for us, that enlightens our eyes so that we see the world in a different way, that God's precepts are there for us, that God desires us not to be burdened, not to be filled with anxiety, but to be filled with the goodness of God, the presence of God, and to have that abundant life that God has laid out before us, that abundant life that is there for us in every way, that abundant life that is just right there, and God saying, here's the green pastures, here are the still waters, here's the table that I've set for you in the presence of your enemies. Here I will anoint you as my child. Here you will find that your cup overflows. Here you will know that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. That is the clearness, the clarity of God. That is the God who speaks to us in tones and words that we can readily understand, that enlightens our eyes so that we can see the world in a different way. We can see the world through the eyes of our shepherd who is there for us in every turn. God is pure, enduring forever. The holiness of God, the perfection of God, the purity of God. When we look at a world that seems so very impure, we understand that God is purity and holiness, and that God is there enduring in that holiness forever, and that God has called us to be with God, we who are so far from pure. And yet God has said, yes, come and be with me and endure with me forever, because my holiness will be there forever. My purity will be there forever. And in that purity, we realize that out of that purity, God loves us. There's no other motive. There's no other hidden agenda. It is God loving us exactly who we are. God loving us for exactly what we are. God loving us in the midst of our mistakes, in the midst of our rejoicing, in the midst of our victories. When we feel proud of ourselves, God's purity is there for us. That purity that endures forever, even when our purity can be very fleeting. God is true, and that truth is more desired than anything else, than gold or the sweetness of honey. God's truth is there for us. The truth that God loves us, the truth that God redeems us, the truth of God's word, the truth of God calling us not to live for ourselves, but to live for others, to seek in every way to give glory to God's name, because that is what God has called us to do. That indeed, that truth is there for us throughout our lives and through all that we do. And that we can live by that simple truth, even though we face falsehood, even though we face things that turn around, even though we face times when we don't understand, God's truth is there for us. It is, as the psalmist says, clear. It is pure. It is right. It is constant. So then the psalmist, after giving us these words of comfort, these words of truth, these words that tell us about God and God's great love and God's great understanding of who we are, the psalmist ends this psalm with two different prayers. And he prays in verse 13, "Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me." Insolent. Have you ever been called insolent? It's not a word we use very much. It also means contemptuous or scornful. And so the prayer of the psalmist, that the psalmist shares with us, is, "Lord, keep me back, keep me away from those who hold nothing but contempt and scorn for all that I hold dear. Protect me from those." But even more importantly, he doesn't actually say, "Protect me." He says, "Let them not have dominion over me. Let them not rule over me." Perhaps that is quite a mighty prayer when we're faced with the realities of our modern age, when those events that happen tend to have dominion over us. And the psalmist says, don't let that which is filled with contempt, that which is filled with scorn, have dominion over my life. Don't let that rob me of my rich relationship that I have with God. Don't let that happen. And that is a prayer that we should pray every day. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face this day, but don't let the bad things control my day. Let me be controlled by walking with you and knowing you this day, and knowing that you're my shepherd and that you have the green pastures and the still waters there before me. And then the psalmist says in verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." That our words and the meditations of our hearts would always be acceptable to God, who is our rock and is our redeemer. A friend of mine knew a man out in Las Vegas who back in the 70s built an underground house. You can Google it and read about it. It's quite fascinating. This man was afraid of nuclear war, and he was a man of means. And so he decided, instead of building a house, it's really near downtown, or maybe in downtown Las Vegas, instead of just building an ordinary house, he would build a house underground. So he went underground, built this house back in the 70s, and it's fascinating. He made a house down there, and then he made an area outside of the house that he put trees in, fake trees, of course, because trees don't tend to live underground. And then he had, like, a little swimming pool and jacuzzis and all this stuff and a grill and all this sort of stuff. And then he decided that it needed to have lighting that would mimic real-world lighting. And so he has lighting for dawn and lighting for midday and lighting for, when the sun is setting and all that. And in the house, if you're there, like in the kitchen, and it's very, very nice and all this stuff, and you look out the window, he set like a little scene there dug out in the rocks that made it look like you were looking out over pastures and there's trees and little houses and all that stuff, so that if you're in there, you can almost think you were outside looking out on a pretty landscape or something like that. And the whole house is built in that way, so that he could be hidden away from the world and still be a part of the world, still feel like I'm enjoying everything, but I'm hidden away down here in my large cave with my house, and that everything is just fine and dandy for me. I think that what the psalmist is saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. That the psalmist is saying we can't hide away. We can't run for cover. We have to let our light shine. We have to bring our light out in the world, not hiding it under the bushel. We have to bring our light out into the world and say, here is the light, not my light, but it's the light of God, God's truth, God's peace, God's purity, God's perfection, God's love, and here it is. We have to present that to a world so that indeed they might be comforted as well. Let us pray.